Well, good morning, KRFY listeners, and thanks for tuning in to the morning show. Today, Wednesday, February 12th. Here we go. A very cold morning. I'm Susie Prez, and today I have two sets of guests, two different interviews. So first up, we'll be talking with Pierce Smith. He's from the advisor to the Sandpoint High School Interact Club. He's from the Rotary. Good morning, Pierce.
Good morning, Susie.
And he brought some students from the high school. We have Ruby Evans. Good morning, Ruby.
Good morning, Susie.
And Max Kirstein. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, Susie.
Yeah. We'll be talking about the Idaho Youth and Philanthropy Project that came to the club to kind of facilitate, to administer. It's through the Idaho Community Foundation. We'll be talking with them about that and about the Interact Club and what it really brings to students in our community. My second interview is with Joyce Jowdy. She's the Community Engagement and Adult Programming Coordinator with the East Bonner County Library. We'll be talking about the upcoming Natural Connection Program and also an upcoming Curious Conversations. This is at the East Bonner County Library. And the guest that she's bringing is Crystal Horvath. I think we should get to our interview again. Thanks for coming in to talk to us about the Interact Club and this really great project that you have going. Let's start with who would like to start. Just raise your hand. Max. Mm-hmm. So are you the vice president of the club?
I'm the president of the club.
Oh, that's okay. There you are. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the club? You're advised by the Rotary. Mm-hmm. And what is the purpose of the club?
So the purpose of the club is to basically community service. We want to interact with the community and the high school. So we do different projects around the community, and we hold projects for like the foreign exchange students at the school. We do different projects like we clean the Healing Garden. We clean like the disc golf course this year. We do different things at the high school, like we do concessions. Right now we're selling candy grams for Valentine's Day. So just try and connect with members around the community as much as we can.
It sounds like you're pretty active.
Yeah.
Interactive. Well, I had no idea. I haven't heard about this club. So how do students hear about it to kind of get involved?
A lot of different ways. Like it can be through your friends or like through, like I found it through the school website. Like we have a website for like a page for clubs. So I joined in sophomore year and I just wanted to find a club that looked fun. I'm like, this seems interesting. I like community service. So a lot of different ways. I think a lot of people hear it through word of mouth, through their friends and through teachers and stuff.
So what, you said you heard about it and you like community service. What do you like about community service?
I like connecting to the community. I really like being able to know people around town and just get to see the different things that are around town. Like I had no idea there was a disc golf course until we went and cleaned it. And I had no idea there was a healing garden. And so there's so many things I didn't know about in this town, but are so easy to discover when you like help with community service. So
we're speaking with Max right now. Mm-hmm. And Max Kirstein, and you're the president of the club. Mm-hmm. So how did you, you told us how you heard about it, but, and why you got involved. And since you've gotten involved, has it played out to be something really fun?
Yeah, it's been really good. When I first joined, there was probably 3 members. There was 1 person from the previous year, so it was kind of slowing down a little bit. But since I've joined, we have about 20 members now, 20 steady members. So it's really cool to see it grow. And so just having the different like people and high school peers to connect with has been really cool. And just making friends through the club has been awesome. And just meeting new people and getting new people involved has been great.
So I'm thinking how you've mentioned a couple ways that you get the word out, but do you go around to classes and maybe talk about your club or work with the school counselor? How do you get a direct contact with other students to see if they're interested or invite them in?
Yeah.
Word of mouth, you said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mostly. Heavily on that. We've done also some like announcements, like the school plays announcements every morning. So we've done like little videos through that. Mm-hmm. We'll sometimes do events around the high school. Like they have like little orientation days for middle schoolers when they're becoming freshmen. So we can have a table for our club that just says what it is and what we do and invites people to join when they're freshmen. So that helps too. But maybe just like holding events around the high school and doing announcements and things like that.
Well, Ruby, So you are the vice president of the club. So we've got the higher ups here. It's not that kind of club, I know. So how did you get involved and why?
So I sort of got involved in a different way. I, in my sophomore year, I'm a senior now, I heard about Mini Ryla, which is, it's put on by Ryla, and it's sort of like this weekend event that's all about leadership and like learning to be a good leader and to kind of like work better with peers. And I fell in love with that weekend. Like, that was my favorite thing ever. And through that, that's how I heard about our Interact Club. I had no idea that it was even a thing at our school, but I met some members from our club at that Mini Ryla weekend, which is the Rotary Youth Leadership Award. That's what that stands for. And it was just really a great experience, and I heard about it, and I joined the club, and I just have stuck with it since then. It's just been a really bright point in my life as of lately, yeah.
That's fantastic. It's a good a little PR for the club here. And if anyone's listening that might be interested, how would they get involved?
We hold meetings every Tuesday. They're open meetings at the high school. There are different Interact clubs for the different schools. So there's also one at the charter school, Forest Bird Charter. But specifically for the high school, we have meetings every Tuesday in our teacher advisor's room, which is Erica Haynes. I don't know her exact room number, but they're just open to anybody. And it's not like a strict, you have to come every Tuesday. We're completely understanding of all sorts of different events.
Well, it sounds exciting. And you have an advisor from the Rotary Club. We have Pierce Smith. So, Pierce, why are you involved in just a little bit more on the connectivity between Rotary and the Interact Club and how you're supporting students to learn that leadership? I mean, that's a real big part of it, I think.
Right. Well, so I'm in the Rotary Club of Sandpoint, and the Interact Club is chartered by Rotary Club of Sandpoint and Pondere Rotary back in 2011. And so there's the second advisor, Rachel Lane, who's with the Pondere Rotary, and she shows up every Tuesday as well. And Rotary Club of Sandpoint's become really youth-oriented, youth services, and that started about the same time, 2010, 2012. So I've been an advisor from the get-go with Interact. And we also have Rotary Foreign Exchange Programs, Mini Ryla, which I think is one of the big draws this year. I mean, when we showed up for the first meeting, because COVID almost killed the club. I mean, we were down to one or two people, and then it very slowly built up. But when I walked into Erica Haynes' classroom this fall, and the place was packed, there were like 45 kids there. Turns out about 20 of them were there for foreign exchange because we were recruiting that particular days. And so, and then the rest, a lot of them had gone to Mini Ryla. So anyway, it's really fun to do interactive, to be able to work with the kids.
Right. And Rotary is a lot about leadership and students and our youth growing up in our community and how they can step out as they move forward in their lives. So Rotary has that focus. What is, again, Mini Ryla?
Okay, so Ryla, that's the Rotary Youth Leadership Award, because it's like a scholarship.
Okay.
And so there's Big Ryla, which are Rotary District 5080. They sponsor that. It actually goes for a full week in the month of July. And actually, you guys can probably explain it better, but they basically teach you leadership skills, and they also make you aware that you may already have those skills, and they just help to bring it out.
And give you experiences and opportunities to actually use those skills, sounds like.
Right, yes. And so the Rotary Club of Sandpoint does the Mini Ryla. We do get some financial support from Pondere as well. And it's out at the, what's it called?
Western Pleasure Guest Ranch.
Western Pleasure, okay. Yeah. And it's the weekend in November. And the person behind that who's really made the push is Debbie Ford.
Okay.
And she's the chair of our Rotary Youth Services for Sandpoint Rotary. And she got the Mini Ryla going.
Okay. So there's a lot going on here. We really brought you in because you have an exciting project, we're calling it. It's called the Idaho Nonprofit. No, it's called the Youth in Philanthropy Grant. I remember when I learned that word, philanthropy. I was an adult by then because we didn't have that opportunity in my school way back in Michigan, way back when, to find out what that, you know, about, as you're talking about interconnecting with our, with your citizens here in your area. So who would like to talk? This is a kind of a grant project spearheaded by the Idaho Community Foundation. It's called YIPP, or Idaho Youth in Philanthropy Project for 2025. Who would like to speak about this? Because part of the reason you're here and part of holding this grant opportunity, this project, is promoting it. And now is the time to promote it. Yeah. So who would like to speak?
We can talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a program that's run by the Idaho Community Foundation, and high schools in Sandpoint are encouraged to apply. So our advisor, Erica Haynes, applied for our club. We got accepted as one of six different high schools to participate in it. So we get a $5,000 grant from the Idaho Community Foundation to give to different nonprofits around the community. So we get to accept applications from different nonprofits in the town, and we get to go through all the applications and look at all of them, and we can decide if we want to have any of them to interview or if we want them to present more about their project or their organization. And then we get to accept who we want to give grants to. So we can give them as small as $500 or up to $2,000 to different people around the community.
So how many... Okay, so the mission, so to speak, or the idea behind it is who would apply and why?
Mostly nonprofits who want to apply, so people that need the funding to do good around the community. So that can help us learn about nonprofits and about the grant writing process for nonprofits. And just getting to learn about that as high schoolers is a really good opportunity and gives us really good experience. Just dealing with kind of interviewing people and seeing what their different missions are and seeing what nonprofits are around town that we might not have known about.
Okay, so then does the whole club participate once you get the grants in and you sit down and start reviewing them and looking into each of these organizations that may apply? The whole club is part of that?
Yeah, we plan to sit down with the whole club and go through all the applications and read them aloud and talk about them as a club and maybe vote on who we want to choose and just decide who we want to go further with. So hopefully everyone in the club will be involved.
Is there any criteria besides, like you said, mostly nonprofits, a certain focus organization?
It's pretty much up to us. Mm-hmm. So we get to decide what's important to us and who we want to give that money to. So it's not really any criteria from, like, based on the Idaho Community Foundation. It's kind of up to the club and the school.
It says in the paperwork here, this Idaho Youth and Philanthropy Project aims to develop leadership, critical thinking, and collaboration skills amongst the students. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be an interesting moment in time when you have 50 applications for $5,000 to distribute. And thinking that all out and having a matrix or some kind of a algorithm to kind of sift through as you move forward. And what is the timeline for this and who can apply? I mean, you already said who can apply, mm-hmm. but how would they apply and what's the timeline?
We're taking applications now and it's up until March 7th. And you can apply through idahocf.org. That's the Idaho Community Foundation's website. So that has the application, more information about it.
The link there.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the due date?
March 7th.
Okay, so there's some time mm-hmm. left. If anyone's listening and they have an organization, are there, I think I've already asked this, but kind of your focus yet? Are you starting to look at grants, or are you going to just wait until the due date?
We haven't looked yet. I don't know if we're going to wait until the due date or not. We haven't discussed that yet, but we'll probably decide kind of what we want to focus on once we start looking at applications and seeing who's applied and kind of go from there.
Okay. Are there any other projects? So that's a big deal, and that's what we're here for today. Mm-hmm. How else are you getting the word out besides coming on the radio and talking about it?
We haven't really done much yet. We're planning to do more, but we've been kind of focused on other things in the club right now, but we're kind of starting from here. So, mm-hmm.
Well, here you go, launching the idea.
Yeah.
There's press releases, there's mm-hmm. other radio mm-hmm. stations, but thanks for coming in and talking to us. It's your first time on the radio, Max and Ruby?
Mm-hmm. Mine?
Not really for me.
Okay.
A few years back, I did a little part of I did like a little theater camp where we did a production of War of the Worlds that we sent in here to KRFY.
I think I remember that. And Pierce, do you interact with the Interact Club in the classroom and when they're meeting, or are you just, do you sit back and advise as they move forward?
Well, I sort of sit back. I mean, I don't lead the meetings. Mm-hmm. Max does that.
You
or
attend
Ruby.
Though.
Yeah, but I'm there. And okay. If they have questions, and so I answer them or tell you, try to give some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids really do run the club, and Erica is a wonderful faculty advisor. Mm-hmm. In fact, we've been really lucky. Since 2011, we've had just remarkable faculty mm-hmm. faculty advisors out at Sandpoint High School.
So you are truly an advisor, along with Erica Haynes, who is a teacher at the high school. What does she teach there?
She teaches history.
History?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's perfect because, connections to the past and the future.
Mm-hmm.
What else is you kind of already mentioned some of this. Anything else you want to say about the Idaho Youth in Philanthropy Project? Are you collaborating with the other six high schools that also received this grant from Idaho Community Foundation?
No, we're just working on our own for this. So, mm-hmm.
How was it decided to put this into the Interact Club? Because I'm not sure that all of these other high schools have a club like that. How was it decided to have you facilitate it?
Yeah, our advisor, Mrs. Haynes, just applied for us. So she told us when we got accepted that we were going to be part of that. And as far as I know, we're the only club who's participating in it. All the others are classes in the different high schools. So like it can be a little different dynamic.
Like a civics class or a mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
Home economics class.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about this project that you're trying to promote on the radio today?
I can't think of anything.
Ruby?
I don't think so.
Advisor Pierce? Yeah.
Well, so, I think it's in the news release, but basically they want to help students become philanthropists mm-hmm. and also to be sort of do it smarter. So that's why they have this process. And they have what they call a rubric. So on the applications, when they come in, mm-hmm. and there's, I think, 7 or 8 questions. And I think, and I haven't seen the rubric, but I think you go through and kind of rate those things. Mm-hmm. And then you add up mm-hmm. the points. And, mm-hmm. The ones with the highest points are probably going to be getting something. Mm-hmm. But it's also... It's interesting because they're going to send us a list of all the nonprofits in Bonner County.
It's like 130 or something.
You know, it's a huge number, and which will be really interesting because we all know about the big ones like Bonner General and Panhandle Alliance for Education and the Food Bank. But we don't maybe know about all the sort of really specialized ones.
Like KRFY, Community Radio, yeah. Arts and Education. That's our mandate, so... Mm-hmm. It's going to be a really fun time. Actually, it could be very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was younger and worked at the Waldorf School, we received grants from large foundations sometimes. And I thought the very perfect job would be reviewing grant applications mm-hmm. and giving away money. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a fun thought?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And supporting great ideas. So that's your goal. The Interact Club of Sandpoint. Good luck with all that.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to say? Now's the time. Again, how do they apply? Go to ICF, but Idaho Community Foundation, there's a link on their page, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, and the only other thing is we have an upcoming project in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In fact, do you guys want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Ruby?
So this project, we are going to go to Puerto Rico this spring break, starting the end of March into beginning of April. So we'll go, I think, from March 28th to April 4th. And we are going to volunteer at an animal shelter there. And we are also, at the same time, raising funds for our local animal shelter as well, because it's very important to us that with this trip that we're taking to a different community, we also involve in our own. So yeah, we're really just trying to sort of promote that care and sort of sanitation in a way also, because in Puerto Rico, there is a large overpopulation of dogs, and this specific animal shelter, which is ran by Michelle Lee, she was a former Rotary district member.
Governor.
Mm-hmm. And she runs this animal shelter, and we're planning to go and to help her. They take in like puppies and pregnant dogs, and they just try to care for that overpopulation. What the heck?
There you go.
I got it there.
So it looks like 2025 project. Mm-hmm. It looks like you take on a big project every year, mm-hmm. and this year it's mm-hmm. called Animal Shelters. And going to Puerto Rico, okay, so you're doing fundraising.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk a little bit about how you're going to get there, because it takes, mm-hmm. and how many students will go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right now, I believe we have 9 students who are absolutely confirmed going. We are purchasing our plane tickets this week, I believe. We have our money for tickets made up now, and so we're mostly focusing on like raising funds for our local animal shelter and for the animal shelter in Puerto Rico.
And that animal shelter in Puerto Rico, I just wanted to say this, Hacienda de Dado Amor. Mm-hmm. So amor must mean love of animals, mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, place for that. Well, that's fantastic work.
Yeah.
And good luck on your fundraising. How do you plan to do that?
So we're using a specific website right now called Vertical Raise, where we're able to do most things digitally, where we can take anonymous donations or specific donations from different businesses around town. We've done a few days where we've gone out and just communicated with businesses. And we're also accepting donations like through our club, through the school,
mm-hmm.
because the Vertical Raise is kind of iffy in a few ways. It is only open for about 2 to 3 weeks at a time.
Okay. So, with a QR code and stuff like that.
Yes.
So just keep publishing that, mm-hmm. sending it out. I think going around to businesses and handing them a QR mm-hmm. code with your logo and stuff on it is a real smart move.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's direct to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for coming in. Ruby Evans, Vice President, and Max Kirstein, President of the Sandpoint High School Interact Club. It's open for 12 to 18-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And Advisor Pierce Smith from the Rotary, thanks for coming in today. There's a lot of information that we shared, and we're going to keep that all in mind. It sounds like amazing work. I'm so glad we know about your club. So
okay, well, thank you for hosting us, Susie.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. And we're happy to have you. And keep in mind, if you want to come back at any point in time, we need a couple weeks notice because we do fill up our schedule, but we can always fit in a 10-minute little interview to keep you going. And I am now back in the studio with Joyce Jowdy. She is the Community Engagement Adult Programming Coordinator at East Bonner County Library, along with Crystal Horvath, who will be one of the voices, the books, at the upcoming Library Curious Conversation event, which is taking place March 14th. And we're going to talk with Crystal and Joyce about that first, and then we'll move on to the Saturday event that's coming up called Natural Connections. So let's talk about, thank you for being here, Joyce and Crystal.
Thanks, Susie, so much for having us. And thanks for that song to wake me up. I was having a little hard time dragging myself in today, and then, you know, got to the car, 0 degrees and all that. So thank you.
Yeah, it seemed like the coffee just did not work today. I was going, is this real coffee? But yeah, thanks for being here. And Crystal, thanks for, you were here not that long ago for the housing agency.
I was, yes. This is another wonderful program that I'm excited to be a part of.
Yeah. So let's talk about that program. It's called Curious Conversations. I'm curious about this program. It's the first time, but it's sort of being, it was a request to have this kind of program.
Yeah, and actually Crystal was one of them. I got this request all within a month from four unrelated individuals contacting me saying they had heard of a concept like this and wanted us to investigate it. And so we did. And we've been working together, a group of four, then three ladies from the community. And we're making this happen.
Curious Conversations on March 14th. What will be the experience? First of all, it's this happens in other places. This is kind of a template, but you're forming it here in our community.
Yeah, other communities do a spin-off, a different type. Some people have heard the phrase human library. And ours is similar, but not the same. We wanted to expand our offerings beyond what they do. And theirs is patented and it's very specific, but we wanted to be more inclusive and include all kinds of stories and topics. You know, have you ever wondered, Susie, you know, what it'd be like to, you know, whatever it is, fill in the blank, you know, what it would be like to be, I don't know, a stand-up comedian in a small town.
I was going to say, what would it be like to get up on stage with your guitar and sing for 200 people for the first time?
There you go.
I was there once.
And hopefully it went well.
Yeah, it did. You know, people are very... Anyways, we're going to...
So what it is really about bringing community together and giving us a chance to get to know each other. We have some fascinating people in our community with all sorts of history, background, personal characteristics, life stories, experiences. And this is a chance for you to learn them. So instead of checking out a physical book where you go to the library for that, we're going to have this event on March 14th. You'll come sign up for what book you're interested in checking out, and you'll meet with this person. And they'll tell their story. And we'll have a little mini sample later with Crystal as we talk here. But basically, they'll share their story and a person will have an opportunity to dialogue with them and ask questions. And then maybe check out another book. And also at the same time, while that's going on during the event, we're going to have refreshments and we're going to have some conversational prompts. So people can also engage with each other who attend and learn about each other or explore topics or what have you.
So a prompt might look like, here's the subject. Let's all like look to your neighbor and ask them this question or something like that.
Maybe Crystal's kind of got one of the big ideas on the prompt. She might have some ideas to share with you today.
What do you think that might look like?
Well, we actually have a card game that we use around our dinner table. And it's color-coded, so there's like funny topics and thoughtful topics and personal belief topics. And so when we are eating dinner, if the conversation kind of lulls, we'll pull a card. And it can be as simple as, would you rather? Would you rather breathe underwater or fly? You know, and then all of us get to kind of share our thoughts around it.
So we're really wanting to engage people in conversation, in dialogue, you know.
So that's the purpose, besides maybe learning something new and getting to know your neighbor or someone in your community.
Right. Or even maybe feeling like, hey, I'm not feeling so alone. Like, oh, I'm not the only single mother trying to figure out how to X, Y, Z, you know. Or, you know, some of the topics could include family caregiving. You know, somebody has experience with that. So they might feel supported, like, oh, that's what it's like to go through that sort of experience. Or the opposite. They never could dream what it would be like escaping a cult or, you know, an immigrant's tale, something like that. And it's like you can't even begin to relate. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, you come and hear somebody's story and you see what it's like to walk in somebody else's shoes or see their perspective. And hopefully bring us all together more as a community. We have more in common than we have
apart. And it's like in these times of divisiveness, we want opportunity to come together.
Sounds fantastic and very, very interesting. So a good creative project. Creativity is a must right now. So why don't we get a little sample of what that looks like? Crystal, you're going to be one of the books.
I am, yes.
So can we get a little sample of that?
Yes, sure. And she's going to do, you guys are got a treat, she's going to do a short story that will not be the one she's doing that night.
Correct.
But I'll just give you an idea of what one of the living book experience would be like if you come to an evening of curious conversations.
Yes, so I will share a little bit about why I became a police officer. So in the actual event, they're going to be longer. This will be much briefer. But essentially, what happened for me was my childhood, and I can kind of joke about it now and be humorous about it now, but it was challenging. It was traumatic. And so we had a lot of occasion to have law enforcement at our house. So in not positive experiences and not anything negative about them, just as a child, you view it differently. When you know, your parents or your siblings are being arrested and taken away, that's a negative experience as a child. So when I became a young adult, I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I really didn't have any concept that I could go to college or pursue any sort of career or anything like that. So I found myself kind of stuck as a waitress in town, which was a wonderful experience in many ways, but I didn't know what I was going to do besides that. So there was this one particular day where these big burly men had come into this restaurant and they were sitting at this table and I was serving them food and sort of eavesdropping on their conversation. And they were loud and they were having this great time with each other and just laughing and all of these things. And I started hearing them talking about law enforcement and being police officers. And this was not a career path I ever considered. Like, it was never going to be something that even came to mind. And so eventually I asked them a couple of questions about law enforcement. And at the end of their meal, one of them came over to me and said, you know, if you're serious, you need to do these three things. You need to become a reserve. You need to start looking at college. You need to not be partying and not go out drinking and not do the, you need to check who you're hanging out with, who your friends are, and just gave me a list of things. And so that was kind of a deciding factor for me where I decided in that moment I was going to completely change the course of my life. And so I did. I started doing those things. And I reached out to the Bonner County Sheriff's Office and signed up to be a reserve and ultimately got accepted as a reserve. Sort of funny enough, it wasn't obviously funny at the time. My dad was in jail at the time. And so I decided the responsible thing to do would be to tell him myself that I had made this choice. And heartbreaking in the moment, but he and I did reconnect years later and had a wonderful relationship years later. But he disowned me at the time and said I was not his blood, was not his daughter. And for a good 10 years, we didn't have contact. And then we had a wonderful 10 years after that and healed that rift, which was really beautiful. But just funny story after funny story. I mean, awful ones too, but I remember this one particular day, I had a couple years on by then already as a deputy, and we had a new guy come down from another agency. He had transferred to our agency, and he recognized my last name. And he's like, oh, are you related to other Horvaths around here? And I'm like, yeah, I have some family. And he's like, oh man. And he tells me this story about how he met this guy who was a drug user and he created this confidential informant in this guy and he worked so hard and he got the big drug dealer and busted this big drug dealer and he was so proud of this arrest and he was so excited. He's like, yeah, so do you know this Horvath? And I'm like, yeah, I know that one. And he's like, oh, how do you know him? And I said, oh, well, that's my dad. And he went white and he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, no, it's okay. Because by then I had already learned that we all make our own choices. And I love my family and they really did do the best they could in the moment. But their choices are their own and there are consequences for those choices. And my choices are mine. So it was something he and I joked about for years when we worked together, how living in a small town and working in the same small town. I mean, again, I dealt with people I went to school with. And there were times where I pulled them over and they would pop out of their car and they're like, oh, Crystal, you got me. I'm drunk. Take me to jail.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So that's your story. That
briefly.
Right now, you gave us a little picture. And the one thing that really came to my mind is the importance of listening, because there was a lot of information that you gave us. And one thing that stood out was, well, as a child, you had a certain experience, but at some moment in time, as a waitress in a restaurant here in town, those police officers were a key to changing your life.
The one guy that came to me after that meal, he was the one. And interestingly enough, I found out later, 6-8 months later, he was actually running for sheriff. He never pitched himself. He never promoted himself. He just cared about me as an individual, and he didn't even know me. But he cared enough to take a moment with me.
So it appears that this is a true curious. I was curious about everything you were talking about, but then it made me want to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Because you told your story. I listened. So it's a kind of components of a conversation become evident.
Absolutely. And that'll be the dialogue. So, you know, they'll start off with the story a little longer than she had here today. And then they can dialogue about it or ask questions and, you know, have an interactive conversation before they go on to the next book. And this was just, you know, this is proof that we all have stories we don't know about. Her story for that night will be nothing related to this. It's a totally different topic. And it's just like we're such complex individuals and we don't even know these stories about each other and the impact we have on each other.
Or the importance of a very mundane sort of part of someone's life could make, you know, but it's not to someone else.
Right.
So, you know, kind of creating your story to tell. I'm sure you're working on that.
Yes.
For the event, which is on March 14th, Curious Conversations at the Library. How interesting. How really exciting.
And this will be an after-hour event. It'll be after the library is closed. So we're going to start it at 6 o'clock. And at that time, people can come and pick the book that they want to borrow, check out, however we want to term it. And they'll go inside the library after hours and meet one-on-one and have these conversations with the living books. And at the same time, in the lobby, we'll be having these other curious conversations with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
Prompted.
And with refreshments and such. And then afterwards, hopefully there'll be time for the living books to come out and join. And so if you didn't get to meet one of them or talk to them, you can socialize with them a little bit at the end as well.
Okay.
Over dessert or maybe some mocktails. We're still working on some
of that. Is there a sign-up process for this Curious Conversation on March 14th?
On March 14th at 6 p.m. when you show up. Yep. Okay. They'll have a little program. You'll see which living books are in our collection. I mentioned a few already. There's things like Navigating the Oceans Before GPS. So there's topics like Motivational Magician, Playful Parenting. There's all different topics. And if this is a success, which we're really hoping it will be, we want to do this on a regular basis. And it'll always be different books and different kinds of experiences from real life. These are people's real life personal stories.
It sounds like not only will a participant learn something, a participant who is a living book will also be engaging about their story with people from our community. It's truly community engagement.
Absolutely. And that's our goal, is to bring people together as community.
I think that's your mission. So, Crystal, thanks so much for coming in. I know you want to scooch off to work at the Bonner Community Housing Agency. You were here a couple weeks ago.
It was
last week even, talking with us about that. But thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
What an exciting project that you're working on.
Yes.
Thanks for sharing your story.
Crystal Horvath, thank you very much for sharing that. I'm interested. Okay, so that again is on March 14th at the library. What time does it start again, Joyce?
6 p.m. It'll be 6 to 9. And think of it as an evening event, an evening out. And feel free to make it your date night even.
Sure, that would be really fun. You'd have something to talk about afterwards.
That's right. So it'd be an evening of curious conversations. Want people to know it's not just for checking out the book. It's a real event.
Right.
So
let's move on to our second subject. It's called Natural Connections. Why don't you just go for it, Joyce?
All right. Mark your calendar, Saturday, February 22nd. We will do our Natural Connections, which is our once-a-month Saturday event, 10 to 4. Our lineup this time is at 10 a.m. We're doing a journey of healing with Chiyol Chikung. And then at 11:30, we're doing upgrade your style, upgrade your life. And then at 1, your roadmap to financial freedom. And then at 2, kicking it with kimchi. So we've got, as usual, a diverse mixture for all different kinds of tastes.
I think it's very diverse. Do you want to go into a little bit more about it, or what would you like folks to know?
Sure. By the way, if people were wanting more information about Natural Connections or even about the curious conversations we talked about earlier, a great place to go to is our website, www.ebonnerlibrary.org. Or if you need more details, give me a call. Once again, I'm Joyce, and I can be reached at 208-263-6930 at extension 1103. And this will, Natural Connections as well as Curious Conversations are at the Sandpoint Library specifically, which for most of you probably know is at 1407 Cedar Street. So 10 a.m., we're going to, is a really interesting woman. Paula Martini had an experience. She's a major athlete in her younger years. Things I can't even imagine doing, you know, talking about individual stories. Major skier, placed, you know, a competitive athlete, let's phrase it that way, and then got very ill. And for 25 years was fighting some very difficult circumstances and tried a whole bunch of different varieties of things, as people do. And one thing that helped her was Chiyol Chikung.
Qigong.
Yeah. Okay. But it's not the Qigong that many people think of in the sense of where you study with a master for years, etc. This is a version that was established by a Chinese doctor at a hospital, of medicineless hospital in China. So she's going to talk about it, how it differs, and how anybody can do it. You can even just do it in your mind. If you have low abilities, you can do it, etc. And we're actually going to practice it and learn how to do it. And she'll talk about the history and her experiences with, like I said, trying to recover and what's it mean to heal from that. And, you know, and when I asked her, oh, you know, how are you now? What do you do? She's, oh, well, I can only go kayaking and hiking and this, that, and the other thing now. So.
And that's called a certain kind of Qigong that opens up the meridians and energy flow so that the body can heal itself.
Yes.
And it's called Qilal.
Qilal, and I might be pronouncing it slightly wrong.
Qigong, and that will be presented by Paula Martini.
Martini.
And that's at 10 a.m. at the February 2nd Natural Connections at the library. Okay.
And then 11:30, Adriana Valentina Adriana Kaufman from Adriana Valentina Consulting will help you upgrade your style. So she has a bachelor's degree in apparel, textiles, and design, and a minor in sociology. So she, as a style consultant, really has a handle on how fashion and branding can affect your professional lives.
Sure. How do you feel? And then at 1 p.m.?
Karen's going to help you figure out how to have financial freedom by looking at your attitudes towards finances and how to work through some goals and what are some of the barriers in your mindset to keeping you from achieving financial success. And then at 2, we're going to do a hands-on, another hands-on that everybody loves. We're going to learn about kimchi. And we're going to be making kimchi and having some kimchi to take home.
So kimchi might be a new word to some people.
Okay.
Even though it's kind of found its place in life these days. But kimchi is
a Korean fermented dish. And it's packed with bold flavors and probiotics that can really help your gut health. And Katrina is a trained master food safety advisor with the Boundary County Extension, and she's going to be teaching us all about it and having some awesome handouts, recipes, and like I said, you'll get to take a jar of kimchi home and you'll get to sample some that she's made that day. So that's our lineup, and as people know, you can come for an individual program all of them, come back and forth, what have you.
So how does it work? You just show up. Say you wanted to do all four.
Just show up.
Show up at 10 a.m. at the East Bonner County, maybe come a little bit earlier, and to get settled in. And how do you, what supports this program?
The library is supporting it, and that means essentially that our community is supporting it, because we're funded through the support of the community.
And your position at the library has really sparked a lot of connectivity and engagement, as your title mentions, in our community. So once again, let's go over Natural Connections. That's February 22nd at the East Bonner County Library.
Yep, come out at 10 a.m. for Chiyo Qigong, 11:30. Figure out about your style. Maybe even get an upgrade in your income based on your style. And then financial freedom at 1, and then kicking kimchi at 2. And I also want to just give a quick shout out for two other things in March. March 1st, we're going to do another open mic at Evans Brothers, 5:30 to 7:30. And that's a Saturday, the first Saturday of the month. And then our Natural Connections for March is going to be March 29th. And for that one, we've got kind of a cultural lineup. We've got the Camino de Santiago, somebody's going to be doing. And we've got some sushi making and some young students from Japan who are going to share about calligraphy. And
this is your March?
That's March 29th. And Ninja. And then we have somebody who's going to lead you on a virtual African safari to learn and visit the Maasai and the wild animals and natural environment that they've learned to live at one with. So a really cool kind of little journey to different parts of our world that many people, interestingly enough, locally have personal connections to.
I think that's pretty cool. You can find out about all of these upcoming events at ebonnerlibrary.org/events.
Absolutely.
Also, I know that I have another opening, Joyce. We'll talk about that after we're off the air.
Okay.
In case you want to come back and talk about the East Bonner County Library strategic plan.
That would be lovely.
That just got put into place. I know we want to talk a little bit about that. It's probably been a long working project with the library, all aspects of the library, and kind of where they see the library moving and what kind of support is needed for that to happen.
Yes, and that is probably best talked another time, but folks can see it on the website if they're interested in that, and we can talk about that another time. But a lot of community effort went into that as well, and so we appreciate that. And people can take a peek look, and we can talk about that another time.
Sure. Do you love your job?
Yeah, it's great. It's great connecting and seeing how this small community, we're all so connected in so many ways, just by Crystal being here. You know, she was wearing three different hats just sitting here today. And it's, to me, really nice to see the different experiences everybody has and the stories people tell and how we get to know each other by the stories we tell. And that's kind of a tagline that one of the other members of our working group for Curious Conversations kind of brought up was, we know each other through the stories we tell. So let's share our stories, share our history. And I find that fascinating.
Fantastic. It's always nice to have you in. I'm always glad when it's on a Wednesday, the morning show, because it's very interesting to me. I just think it's something that strengthens our community to have such an interactive and interesting library programs. So thank you for what you do, and thanks for coming in today.
Thanks. We appreciate it. And I really want to call out to folks that if you have ideas or thoughts or partnerships, I really am open to them. Please don't hesitate to reach out, and because we don't know where we can build bridges or make connections until we take a moment to have a curious conversation.
Well, that's a really good way to look at it, a good frame of mind. So Joyce Jowdy, Community Engagement and Adult Programming Coordinator from the East Bonner County Library. We talked about Natural Connections coming up this on the 22nd and Curious Conversation on March 14th. We'll have you back soon. And KRFY listeners, thanks for tuning in today. Just a couple things, and then we'll hear a song that I've picked out just for you. Tomorrow on the morning show, you can tune in to Jim Healy and Jack Peterson. We'll be talking with the Hive manager, Mac Dybel, and what's happening at the Hive segment. And then, of course, Friday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, North Idaho News of the Week. It's always good. It is a synopsis of the news in our area. Next Wednesday, you can tune in. We'll have the Bonner General Health's Dr. Stacy Good, Chief Medical Officer and Emergency Physician Andrew Chapin, Acute Care Manager, will be coming in to talk about Bonner General Hospital Swing Bed Program and the Heart Ball that's coming up. So there's a lot going on here at KRFY. Listen all day long to Otto's Eclectic Mix. It's always good. Check our Facebook. Like us on Facebook. You'll get updates on local programming that's happening. And again, thanks for tuning in today.
Thanks so much, Susie, for having me on and sharing this with the community. Yep. KRFY is awesome.
Yep, I agree.